evening. Good evening, friends. Can you hear me? No. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Oh, there we go. Hi. Good evening. Hi. I'm so happy to see all of you here. Welcome to Hope College. I'm so thrilled that you decided to spend your Saturday night here at Hope with me and the music department. We are so happy to see you. I'm so happy to see you. So I just got back from a sabbatical leave, and I'm so happy to be back with my students and to be working again, to be teaching again. I've missed them terribly. And tonight I am presenting a program of pieces that I worked on during my sabbatical leave. All the pieces that you see in front of you on the program are new to me, new as of last semester. And so typically when I present a recital, there's always one or two pieces that I have in my back pocket from years ago that are comfortable for me, just to ease the pain a little bit. But not tonight, not tonight. This is all new stuff. So that was, the piece I just played could be translated as Flattery by a Spanish composer named Enrique Granados. First of all, this piece I wasn't planning on working on during my sabbatical. It wasn't on my proposal. I went to Spain to perform some French music, and after I got back, I said to myself, why did I not learn some Spanish music to present in Spain? So I started working on this on the side, and I just couldn't stop playing it. It's just such a joyful piece to play. So that's the Granados. I hope you enjoyed that. The next seven pieces are from a set of 12 pieces that I worked on this semester, this past semester, called The Preludes by Claude Debussy, a French composer. Now, these preludes are interesting because when you hear the word prelude, you think, well, there's going to be something that follows. Not in this case. These preludes are standalone pieces. They are musical works that stand in their own weight and worth. Actually, Debussy was not the first person to do that. Chopin was. He wrote a set of 24 preludes that didn't have fugues that followed. But that's a whole other story. So these seven pieces, written in 1910, published in 1910, are very interesting in that in a number of ways. First of all, I feel a little strange playing them tonight, admittedly, because I feel that, and I read somewhere, that Debussy really wanted his music, including these preludes, to be played in a living room with the lid down, and they're very intimate, private pieces, pieces of personal communion. But they've made their way onto the concert stage, and I will attempt to play them tonight in this beautiful hall for you. The first piece, Mrs. Ochoa, may I borrow your program? I had one backstage, but thank you. Just to make sure, I don't want to mess this up. The first piece, Dancers of Delphi. Debussy was a collector of art, and one of the pieces he saw in the Louvre Museum in Paris was the statue of a female figure holding up a much bigger platform. It was one of the dancers in Delphi. Debussy was fascinated by this work because it depicted weightiness yet weightlessness, the paradox of motion versus immobility. And Debussy wanted to experiment with this paradox in music using sound. The second piece I'll be playing is a third prelude from this book, The Wind Over the Plain. And this was inspired by an 18th century poem by Charles Favart. The third piece I'll be playing is translated as Sounds and Scents Mingle in the Evening Air. And Debussy was fascinated by synesthesia, which is the mingling, the amalgamation of senses and what that does to us. And he liked to describe music in terms of how it smelled, how it tasted. He liked to describe music in terms of how it was colored, what color it was. So sounds and scents mingle in the evening air. The next piece is The Hills of Anacapri, and this was inspired by a label of a wine bottle. WC liked wine, and don't worry, Hope College, I don't like wine. I'm allergic to wine, actually. You can ask anybody. So I'm safe. This bottle of wine came from the Italian island of Anacapri. The next piece after that is probably the most popular and well-known of the preludes, The Girl with the Flaxen Hair. That was inspired by a poem written in 1852 by Le Comte de Lisle, describing very detailedly how this beautiful woman looked to him. The next piece, The Interrupted Serenade, is about a Spaniard with a guitar singing, or at least attempting to sing, to the love of his life, but he keeps on getting interrupted. And lastly, The Dance of Puck, inspired by the mischievous trickster from Shakespeare's Midsummer's Night's Dream. So I hope you enjoy these seven preludes by WC. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'll just talk really loudly. Thank you again so much for being here tonight. It means so much to me. It means so much to my department that you are here. We are going to end this recital now with a circa 22-minute piece, three movements. This is the Concerto in G Major of Ravel. And this was published in 1931. And Ravel was quite the formidable composer. Everything he wrote, regardless of the instrument he wrote it for, is considered to be always really hard writing. He was visionary. He was able to take an instrument, any instrument, and make it sound, at least in his mind, so much more colorful, so much more delicious, and expand its tonality and its timbres, seemingly, so much more than maybe other composers. And that's no exception with this piece. I am delighted to be playing this with the Charlottesville Symphony next month, and I'm equally delighted to be playing it tonight with the Sarah Best Symphony. And the page turner never gets any credit. This is Deborah Blackman. She's a freshman here at Hope. So this piece is heavily influenced by jazz. Ravel had just visited the United States, and he was exposed to jazz music, and he absolutely loved it. And this is his attempt at amalgamating jazz idioms and jazz sounds with the classical structure of a concerto. You'll find lots of bluesy sounding passages. You'll find lots of bitonality passages. Bitonal means two keys at once. And it starts off, it's concerto in G major, but then he adds this to it. All these wrong notes. And it makes it so delicious, like bubbling champagne. Not that I know what that tastes like. So the outer movements are very jazzy, especially the last movement. The last movement is just this almost bombastic. I don't know what it is. You'll see. It's quick. It's intense. It is totally awesome. The second movement is one of the most beautiful things ever written. I first heard it when I was very young, and I haven't stopped listening to it since. And I felt drawn to this piece. Last semester, one of my colleagues passed away, and on that day, the only thing that I could find comforting enough for me was to sit down and play the second movement of this concerto. And this colleague was my brother in Christ. He was my colleague here in this department, and I'd like to dedicate this performance in memory of Jonathan Hagen. Thank you.
Thank you.